value proposition we bring is like we're a creative platform where people can discover new skills, like game design, iterative design, and express their ideas, bring them to life, create those worlds, and discover like valuable skills that can be used on not only for game making but in general.
The Encrypted Podcast, your gateway to the future of technology and innovation, right here in the heart of Dubai's dynamic tech universe. I'm your host, Maria Vovchok, and together with Dubai Blockchain Center, we are embarking on a journey that unravels the minds of tech visionaries through the digital frontiers that are shaping our world. Hello and welcome everyone to Encrypted Podcast. We are here at Future Blockchain Summit, and today we're so happy to have with us Sebastian Bourget, co-founder and CEO at The Sandbox, a decentralized gaming virtual world. He's the president of the Blockchain Game Alliance, advocating for NFTs in blockchain and in games. He's an entrepreneur with over 16 years of experience in growing startups, and 4 years in blockchain and 11 years in mobile gaming. Sebastian worked for numerous startups with diverse business model as an advisor. He was recently named as one of the top 100 most influential people in crypto by Cointelegraph. Sebastian holds a computer science engineer degree from Telecom Sud Paris, one of the France's leading graduate schools in engineering and information and communication technology. When Sebastian has free time, he loves to collect and read Japanese comic books. Is that correct, Sebastian?
That's right. Yes, I have a large collection. I enjoy like diving into diverse culture.
Amazing. Sebastian, what else our audience should know about you, perhaps what I haven't mentioned so far?
Well, I'm someone who is very passionate. I'm a geek. I'm an early adopter of all new technology. I think that's what really drives me into like being an entrepreneur. Like I want to test new things all the time and be inspired like how these could be utilized and make an impact in a mainstream way, and how anyone can access those technology in a very seamless manner. So that included like making video games, streaming online media, sharing files with your friends, and also like playing games in new ways with touchscreen, and now with true digital ownership, blockchain, and pushing the creator economy via Sandbox.
So Sandbox, by the way, has become one of the most famous metaverses out there. When we're talking about the concept of open metaverse, what do you believe is the biggest misconception people have about a concept of open metaverse?
So I think like the idea of like the metaverse is still needs like to be better explained in general to all audiences, because the metaverse really became public back in November 2021 when like Facebook rebranded itself as Meta. And they did that kind of skew the vision of the metaverse toward like their vision, which is like VR and only on their platform, which is not really easy. What we perceive the metaverse as. For us, the metaverse is just this myriad of virtual world. There will be millions of platforms where users can access with an avatar, a 3D character that becomes their digital identity. And that character can move along any of those worlds in a very seamless manner without asking the permission to any platform. And not only the avatar, but also like all your belonging, all the things you bought, you create, or you earn as you play in those worlds, they follow you in those worlds, and you can utilize them anywhere you want. That's the concept of like metaverse, true digital ownership. Everything you have, even if it's like virtual digital, can actually be yours, can be sold to other users, can be exchanged, and can be utilized the way you want. That's the open metaverse.
Thank you. And actually, we'll go back to that even deeper, but I would also like to go back slightly to history, because so right now, in the past, the Sandbox has been known for its two smash mobile hits. Back in 2011, it started like, it was also called the Sandbox. And then there was Sandbox Evolution in 2016, and you had over 40 million downloads at the time. And since 2018, you've been working on a new version of Sandbox and growing into one of the leading gaming virtual platforms. So do you believe that gaming alone can quite comfortably onboard the first 1 billion users into Web3, as everybody is expecting, again, for this massive, finally, as they say, massive onboarding, people entering Web3. Do you believe that gaming can help with that?
Well, I think like gaming provides inherently all the mechanics that will drive and retain people in the metaverse. Like the mechanics to have fun, the mechanics to give you reason to come back. Uh-huh. And like you were just pointing out, like we started Sandbox back in 2011 as a mobile game.
Yeah.
Originally, and that's always been our mission, like how do we empower anyone to become a creator? Back then on smartphone, just by the touch of your finger, today on a 3D virtual world, without any coding, programming knowledge, drag and drop, you can make 3D content, 3D assets or games and experience and share them. And that makes them accessible to anyone. But frankly, what is missing is like, again, back to the idea of like metaverse being just VR. People think of metaverse like finite experience. You come there once, you visit, maybe an art gallery, maybe a museum, maybe a party, and it's done. And that's not how it should be. The metaverse should be a place that is vibrant 24/7, where you always have something to do, whether socialize, explore, achieve and complete quests, compete with others, climb leaderboards and earn rewards. These are actually the four pillars of the Bartle taxonomy, which is like coming back from RPG and MMORPG games. So things that exist for 25, 30 years. We've seen games like World of Warcraft, Fortnite, Minecraft, and Roblox, of course, and Second Life, or EVE Online. How do those games hold people to keep playing for 2 decades, sometimes 3 decades? It's because they have all those core gaming mechanics. They have the way to re-engage the player into new quests, into what we call live ops and updates, launching new events constantly. And I think like at Sandbox, because gaming is our DNA, our background, we understand that better in a way that how the character moves, how we make people compete, how we make the people socialize and interact with other avatars, and all the mechanics we put in place that are effective, and that why people like being in Sandbox, launching in Sandbox. We have more than 400 brands and partners. We have 1 million unique users coming and playing over the past 12 months in Sandbox. I think those are good start metrics, and we, as we continue to update our different tools, our game maker, editor, etc., we'll provide more and more possibilities for people to give like life to their imagination and create fun and interesting things in the metaverse.
By the way, let's talk about as well a little bit later on about partnership. But what would you say to gamers, let's say, who are really comfortable in Web2 games, as you already mentioned? They love Roblox, they love Second Life, for example, and they don't exactly see the point why I definitely need to try a decentralized game. So what would you say to those people who are not exactly so far eager to try a new game from, let's say, from the Sandbox game maker?
So I would say that like Sandbox is really positioning itself as a unique platform in terms of like the content you will find, the audience we address. So we don't necessarily try to convert existing Web2 or AAA gaming gamers towards Sandbox. Like the experience in Sandbox are first social and then gamified, more casual. And the way we see it is basically every time there is a new platform, a new format of entertainment comes to life. From Nintendo 3DS, Switch, smartphones, it always invents new ways to play and it increases the overall addressable audience. If not, like the gaming market would be very small and limited to console, but thanks to smartphone, thanks to more casual device, now women, older kids, or older people and kids can play around family entertainment. And so Sandbox is really looking at how do we empower new creators to make new form of entertainment, avatar-centric, that are social and gamified. And we think like overall, rather than trying to convince existing hardcore gamer, let's broaden the market to allow more people to play and enjoy, meet, socialize, work, etc. And then over the years, because Sandbox is only 5 years old, so we try to compete with games platform that are 15 years old. Of course, there is a gap in the technology, in the feature, but we're progressively catching up. what you see in Sandbox from 1 year ago, if you play it again today, it's very different graphically, but also like in all the interaction and the fun. And so I'm really excited what it would become in 2 years and more, as like we double down the effort on the tech team and adding more and more gameplay, multiplayer rule system that allows like racing game, like running with each other, fighting, playing together to complete goals, etc.
Uh-huh.
Let's see what creators and user-generated content brings out of it. That's the exciting part.
Sure. Actually, it's a very good point that you mentioned about the tools and resources that Sandbox is using. So let's talk about this more like in detail, because Sandbox, which I believe is an amazing thing, you allow users to create your own game and your own experience inside the metaverse, the Sandbox metaverse. Can you please dwell upon in detail which tools and resources does Sandbox provide to empower creators? And how do you support the creative process of game development within your platform?
So Sandbox, we basically are built upon Unity, but we have this editor called GameMaker that is no code, that allows anyone to make games and experience just by drag and dropping, setting components, behaviors, and within minutes they can make their own game. Actually, we love to say like creating is by itself is fun. It could be the game itself to create and experiment what you create.
Yes.
And it's so accessible that people who never learned how to make video games before, or like never, are not even in tech side, but more like artistic,
yeah,
like creative people, they were able to utilize it and launch exciting new content on the platform. We give various ways to support that community of creators. Of course, we run contests, game jam, competition that attract new creators with prize and give them like inspiration across different thematic. We leverage the various 400 brands and IPs that we work with, like Care Bear, Smurf, Rabbit, Walking Dead, Snoop Dogg, Steve Aoki, and so on. We also have the Game Maker Fund, which provides grants for like new creators, maybe to get access to funding and more to launch. We have streamers and a lot of resources online from the community itself, who starts to like explain how to create in Sandbox. Every day, if you look on YouTube and other channels, like people are showing how they are creating. They're helping the new people to be onboarded via Discord, via Twitch, and via YouTube. And that contributes to grow a larger community of creators. And that's also something that makes Sandbox unique, is like the access to this creative community at the core of our user base is a very powerful value proposition for many brands and many of the partners who want to acquire land and then build something on it. That's why we have more than 230 studios that already have been certified within 2 years. We've grown them from being individuals to like small companies, and some of them evolving toward like larger media group and so on. I think it is essential to support the growth of an ecosystem that will be leveraging our tools, our asset like lands, avatars, etc., to build up new form of experiences that even ourselves we don't know yet what it could be, but we always try to inspire and showcase by launching our content, like seasons, events, featuring content from brands, and training, educating, and empowering this ecosystem.
Dubai, home for innovations. By the way, talking about partnership, because if you analyze like throughout your history, you've been pretty successful onboarding famous brands with your colleague Bertrand. You were pretty successful with onboarding famous musical brands, luxury brands, and others. I was wondering, what strategy are you using while onboarding, let's say, a new brand to get their virtual land in the Sandbox metaverse?
So, first, like Sandbox has access to a global audience now. Like I look at it, we have presence in 10 regions of the world with different countries: Hong Kong, Japan, Korea, Turkey, recently Saudi Arabia. We're working here to have a presence in the UAE, US, France, etc. And we've put in place a very simple framework to explain what Sandbox can do and cannot do yet. And all of that is already showcased. So you understand very quickly the utility of a land. You understand there is an ecosystem of builders and agencies that can create content for you. You can already play with your avatar and see a lot of success stories that we have been publishing to explain like how brands have achieved like more than, 30 minutes to 1 hour of engagement and 95% conversion rate when people enter an experience, which is like an amazing metric if you compare to like traditional social media, web 2, and it's so hard to compete for user attention, but in the metaverse you get that. How like they've been creating also this new model of ORM, ownership relation management, giving an NFT to a user, having their wallet address is a new way to get in control of your audience and the relation of that audience that you lost with like the Twitter, Facebook, etc., where like you have to pay to get back your own audience in the Web2 model. All of those ingredients are attractive for brands, but they're also attractive for like creators and communities, some of them who already launched their NFT collection, now looking at new way to engage for those communities. We provide with interoperability the possibility for them to have a land, to build their own official experience, to allow their avatar, their NFT holder to play with an avatar in sandbox, and even with user-generated content to build their own world, their own story, and expand the universe of those brands. I think it's the combination of all of this and the excitement that we can co-create together with the community, we can engage more users, and there is a real strong utility behind every of the assets at Sandbox, and you can play it already right now to feel it.
Yeah.
That makes the value proposition so interesting for partners in Sandbox.
When you said about collaborations, it's like actually the key strategy for Sandbox, if you analyze, and are there very notable collaborations so far or partnerships that you believe that made a significant impact on Sandbox?
Absolutely, I'm thinking, so we're trying to really showcase those actually. So we publish about Snoop Dogg, about Steve Aoki, about Ledger, about Warner Music, how they already activated, launching their own avatar collection, launching their experiences, engaging their community, rewarding them. Paris Hilton is another example. We had Avenged Sevenfold in music as well. And in Asia, more recently, we had McDonald's Hong Kong, who launched a very interesting experience that engaged many users for their one milestone, one event around one of their key products and brands.
So, Sebastian, when, for example, you have, let's say, a brand new user, so let's not miss any part of the Sandbox Metaverse. When a brand new user is enter a Sandbox Metaverse, which aspects? So we mentioned already about the virtual land, about the Sandbox game maker. What else all the users should know that they should definitely, you believe, that they should definitely experience?
All right. So as a user, your entry point is first like your avatar. That's your digital identity. So you create an avatar either for free or you choose from one of like the 16 collection. We have Snoop Dogg, Steve Aoki, Paris Hilton, but also like Care Bears, Rabbits, and Elvis Presley, and our new collection inspired by like real break dancers or other artists. And you use it to explore all those different experiences available, and you can earn reward as you play. We also have this notion of map, that is a finite map in Sandbox, but instead of selling the whole map at the beginning, we work to curate the best brand either by thematic, sport, music, fashion, gaming, movies, or by region of the world. We introduced Turkish Verse, Bharat Box for India, Lion City for Singapore and Southeast Asian region. So it's quite interesting because basically it brings together as virtual neighbors all the best brands that share a certain culture and want to showcase it to the rest of the world, since Sandbox has a global audience. And this virtual neighborhood becomes a new social discovery layer where like being the neighbor of, I don't know, a local partner brand, like imagine Vara here in Dubai, imagine Snoop Dogg and other music artists. They are your virtual neighbor and people can find your games and your game can extend his world and his presence too. That's something that's still always very successful, and we're going to announce new land sales until 2026. Uh-huh. Small one, but very curated. I think like the game maker, no code, is the next value proposition. Now you've been playing, trying things, maybe inspired. How about you create something on your own land? And that's why we organize those competitions, game jams and contests, uh-huh. where you have a limited amount of time to create something with Game Maker and submit it and maybe win a prize there and begin your journey as a creator in the metaverse.
So is there also educational guide?
Because there is.
Yes, you mentioned that earlier you're working on this part, educational aspect is important for you.
Absolutely. Well, I think like we as a platform, like anyone can use Sandbox the way they want. And we've seen a lot of demands around like using Sandbox to educate about the possibilities of the metaverse. And rather than like building that education program ourselves, actually there are like studios around the world who build their own curriculum. And some of them are working with schools, universities, or academy to teach those jobs. And for example, we've seen those studios like Metadumpics in Hong Kong, Index Game, Wishlong Index Academy, which partner with the Hong Kong Design Institute. And now like there's a promotion of students that graduated from that very reputable school and produce an experience, showcase it, and like we'll go on. And this is just one example about many. We've seen Korea, Japan, and Hong Kong very active on the education side. Uh-huh. And we're working to foster the same energy and the same approach in the MENA region, starting with Saudi Arabia, where like there is really a nascent video game industry and creative industry. And looking as well at here in the region of UAE and Turkey as well, and around the world, we feel like if something works, we should replicate it and double down on it.
By the way, when you mentioned about collaboration with Sandsoft Games, for example, like in the MENA region, can you say, and you're like doing more, as I mentioned earlier, successful collaborations with other companies as well. When you're building, let's say, and spreading the team of Web3 gaming experts in the Middle East, can you say that GCC region is one of your major focuses when we're talking about Sandbox, and why?
So, well, first of all, before even like bringing like about Web3 or true digital ownership, the first value proposition we bring is like we're a creative platform where people can discover new skills like game design, iterative design, and express their ideas, bring them to life, create those worlds, and discover like valuable skills that can be used on not only for game making but in general. It's a bit like knowing how to code, how to program is a skill that's being taught now to children and young kids around the world, because it's preparing you to the future, the job of the future, like in engineering
right now,
and other.
It has to be like one of the courses in schools and universities.
Hopefully in 5-10 years we grow metaverse and people recognize the benefit of it, so it will be part of like any child's curriculum.
Yeah.
And it starts by like showcasing like how we empower people who are going to enter the job market, and how progressively metaverse is being used as well, like to connect, to socialize, to learn, to educate, to do, take all those different skills with you and package them in a way that it will be useful for the future for all jobs, right? And in the GCC region, because the country is opening and because there is several of those countries are opening, because most of like their population, more than half of the population from these countries is actually Gen Z. So they have aspiration to become content creators. They have aspiration to have more of a like digital life, and they consume more digital products, they value digital services as well. To onboard them to like bringing the culture of their country, showcasing it to the rest of the world, building a local video game industry, a local creative industry that's not only serving the local market, but also reaching out to global audiences. And Sandbox is a very attractive platform for that. that alongside Unity, Epic Engine, etc., makes it quite accessible because you don't need to know that programming. So it's not only for more like engineer profile, but artistic profile, creative people can onboard it. And we serve so many different purposes like fashion, architecture, as well, art, culture, tourism, as use cases. That people find our platform is really a good fit for that.
Encrypted is your exclusive ticket to the epicenter of technological innovations in the MENA region. Yeah, so in this case, definitely the GCC region is also a successful practical use case for using Sandbox Metaverse. There's also one important thing when we're talking about the content creators and all the users of your virtual gaming platform, for example. How do you address security and privacy concerns, especially with regard to user data and in-game interactions? Because in this case, it's a very important, how do you measure, what do you have in place to protect your users and their assets?
Well, first, it's important to understand, like, we are not monetizing the user data.
Uh-huh.
Like, the model underneath Sandbox and Web3 is very different than the model of Web2, where, like, the product is free to access, and a user are being monetized through serving them ads, and ads that are targeted to them because they collect their behavior data. In the Web3, and more specifically in Sandbox, like, the monetization model is based on, like, true digital asset ownership. So you start by owning your digital identity, you play with it, you make purchase, and the content you purchase, actually, because it is yours, it can be sold many times between users. And every time it's actually being sold among a user, we collect as a platform a 5% royalty fee that we pay back either to the creator or to ourselves, splitting it between creator 50-50. In this case. And that is a model that the more people will acquire those digital assets and the more they will exchange with each other, the more we all win altogether. The original creator, us as a platform, and encouraging more creators to build content. Developing the virtual economy, digital jobs, and engagement on the platform is what we need to do to monetize more effectively on the platform. Also, we have SAN, the utility token that serves as like a means of exchange to buy land, to buy content from the creators, and also more purposes. I think that's a pillar into this approach to develop a true digital and a true creator economy that benefits the creator first. And we don't look at advertising. Like, the metaverse needs to be a fun place. It shouldn't be a place full of billboards. It doesn't need to become Times Square, the metaverse.
Yeah.
It should be much smaller in the way like creator will promote to each other their content. And the best way we encourage that is like by partnering. So basically leveraging network effect among brands. If I own a land and I buy digital assets from another brand, I put them on my land and I add the gameplay around it, it's very naturally incorporated within my experience, its architecture, its design, or the gameplay. It's not an advertisement, and yet it's somehow promoting the brand outside of its original land. If I play as a player with an avatar from the Rabbids, actually, I don't play only in the Rabbids land, I play in everybody's land. So basically, I'm promoting the Rabbids as like the community I'm part of, as a group I'm fan of, as it is my digital identity, it's unique, and still I play around. There's other smart way that people are like incorporating their presence, building it with the community, and promoting it around, not only on their own land, but all around.
But also, how do you take care of the data privacy and security on your platform?
So we, of course, have like, first of all, we have put in place all GDPR compliance and that other country data privacy. We have a CISO, a Chief Information Security Officer, and we monitor constantly the security of the platform as ourselves.
Uh-huh.
But also, like, we are listing exactly which data we collect for analytics, and this is not behavioral data that's happening within the 3D world. These are more like the traditional information, like the country you're from, when you sign up, and that's basically it, right?
Yeah.
So we don't, and all the rest is on chain. What you purchase will, it's public data information on chain. We are not tracking and putting on chain other things like who you interacted with, what did you discuss, etc. All of that data remains private and not stored by us.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Today we had Sébastien Bourget, the co-founder and CEO of Sandbox. Thank you so much for coming. We're right now moving to a very interesting part, the last part of our interview. Thank you so much, Sébastien.
Thank you, and see you in the metaverse.
Rapid fire questions.
So right now we're going to have rapid fire questions with Sébastien Bourget. So you will be able to find out what kind of entrepreneur he is. So
right.
Whenever you're ready, we may start.
Sounds exciting, yes.
So Sébastien, what excites you today the most?
Well, I'm excited by like empowering anyone to become a creator and how we can make an impact in everybody's life through that.
Amazing. Your biggest failure and biggest lesson to learn so far?
Hopefully no big failure, everything I've been like recovering from. But you know, as an entrepreneur, every day you're being faced with different challenges. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to learn like how like some games, some idea you thought like are not going to like be efficient on the market because like people don't like it, and like take the takeaways quite rapidly, update your game, change the mechanics and move on rapidly. So that's it.
Name five qualities you believe a real entrepreneur should have. Five qualities.
Right. So I believe like as an entrepreneur you should serve as like an example like for like other entrepreneurs, for the community, for the audiences. So the first one is like be accessible, be transparent, be responsible in a sense, like take the blame, take the heat, take the responsibility when things go wrong and fix it. Try to like do good around you. So you have a better mission than just like success financially. Mm-hmm. You have a mission like how what you're building, your business can help others to succeed financially, can help others to like support charities or do like positive impact in inclusivity, diversity, sustainability. Those are topics that were very important to us, and I hope like our ecosystem also shares those values. And basically the last quality is like work with your ecosystem, support them, like build an ecosystem actually. Don't try to compete with others, but make them your partner so everyone wins and succeed. And that's the one of the ethos of Web3.
Yes, one of the key strategies of Sandbox collaboration, as we discussed it earlier. What would you never do while building a company?
Never compromise on your values. Like learn how to say no. If you feel something is not wrong, is not right, or like they are not in it for the same reason as you, just say no and move, walk away and that's it.
Okay.
Like you need to believe and follow and again, being back, like how do I lead by example?
Finish the sentence. My business philosophy is?
Well, I kind of implied it before, but my business philosophy is like enjoy what you're doing, make sure like it's doing good around you as well, and like it has a greater mean than just financial success.
You're a well-known keynote speaker. How many times do you practice your keynote before going on a stage?
Actually, I don't.
Oh, interesting.
I think like
so
progressively. No, I would not improvise, but like there's topics you know, like it's what you do on a daily basis. So the keynote is not, it's not a different format than just like what you should be doing on a regular basis as you interact with your partners, your client, your community, or your teams.
Mm-hmm. Your biggest aim to achieve right now?
So we feel like Sandbox has achieved a good recognition in general in Web3, but our goal is like, how do we enlarge the Web3 market and how do we keep attracting millions of new creators in different regions of the world through the new possibilities that Sandbox has to offer?
The motto you live by?
Well, I don't have a specific motto. Like, I guess like every day is a new day.
So in that case, let me rephrase it. Your personal formula of success.
Right. So my question is like, how are you feeling fulfilled? And basically look up if you get like...
So we can say be fulfilled every day.
Yeah, be fulfilled every day. And look at the bird's eye view of everything you've achieved over years. Uh-huh. What do you remember? Do you remember only the great time, the good achievement, or only the bad memories and the difficult time? And actually, all the bad time are already forgotten far long. So enjoy the journey, basically.
Amazing. What do you believe is the next big tech trend to follow for everybody who's watching us?
Well, I think like, it's not just about the trend, but of course AI has a lot of potential to be applied in the metaverse and like how like it makes creativity accessible in the hands of everyone. Before in Sandbox you could just like drag and drop. Now with the generative AI you could just type. That makes it available to almost 7 billion people around the world. So as the technology will mature, it will become exciting and even more exciting and part of like this overall concept of the metaverse.
Amazing. And the last one, Dubai for you is associated with?
So Dubai is like this new financial business and hopefully creative center of the world, as like the world is no longer bipolar between US and China, but there's many different new regions of the world that's rising and makes it very multicultural and very exciting.
And Middle East is very exciting for you as well.
It is, like Southeast Asia, Asia in general, and the whole MENA region are the three key regions that develop the most and the most rapidly in Sandbox. And that's why we're present in those regions and working with great partners there.
Thank you so much, Sandbox.
Thank you.
Sebastian, it was a great pleasure. Sebastian, the CEO and co-founder of Sandbox, today for Encrypted Podcast by Dubai Blockchain Center. I'm Maria Bovchok. Thank you so much for watching and see you next time.
Thank you.
From the gleaming skyscrapers of Dubai to the innovation hubs of the Middle East and beyond, Encrypted brings you thought-provoking discussions, exclusive insights, and stories of innovation that will leave you inspired.